No sooner did I get Sexy and her crew out of there than I saw Electra's BMW Hover coming in for a landing.
Harv, what time is it?
4 p.m. You would think you wouldn't be so lazy and you'd move your wrist to look at your communicator.
Electra got out of the car.
What brings you home so early, Mia Moore?
She took my hand as we walked toward my house.
I had to get out of there. The press was making me crazy asking so many asinine questions about you.
We walked into the house.
Don't worry. I'm sure tomorrow some Elvis impersonator clone will rescue a cat from a tree, knocking me out of the headlines.
Gates forbid they talk about real news, like the moon's newest bid for independence.
People can't affect that, my dear. If there's nothing they can affect, then they only want to hear about trivial stuff.
She looked around at the bots rebuilding my door supports, and cleaning up the mess.
What happened here?
Same old, same old.
It's for the better. I need to pack so I can get to the conference early tomorrow.
To be on the safe side, Electra and I both slept in my home's underground shelter, but the night passed without incident. Electra woke bright and early to pack. I slept a bit while she packed, but met her in the kitchen for breakfast before she headed off. When I joined Electra at the table, she was already halfway through her coffee and grapefruit. The morning news was scrolling by on the wall screen.
Well, am I still the flavor of the day?
I sat down across from her. Harv appeared at the head of the table. He had a sly look in his eye.
Nope. Some Elvis impersonator clone in Vegas saved a poodle trapped in a tree.
The maid bot rolled up and deposited some eggs and a piece of bacon on my plate.
Okay. Now that can't be a coincidence.
I set it up. You've already collected your payment for the insurance ad. And plus, Sexy deposited a 5,000 credit payment to your account for your help with her ugly little matter.
So my 15 nanos of fame are over.
I watched images of the Elvis impersonator clone climbing the trees toward the poor pooch. I noticed that Electra was watching another window. Vixen News was showing a debate between one of their bikini model anchors and a World Public Broadcasting man wearing a suit that he looked like he was born in. The two were discussing the pros and cons of a free moon.
Zoom in on Vixen News. Volume on.
The Vixen News window expanded to show the woman and man sitting facing each other. No table, no desk, no nada.
Oh, please, Morgan. If we give the moon their freedom, then the next thing city in the sky will want theirs. Next Mars base will want theirs. It will be complete and utter anarchy.
I would expect talk like that from a bimbo whose bust line is 10 points bigger than her IQ2 score.
I just love a good debate.
This is important.
If you guys want, I can leave.
Oh, typical Zach. If it's not a baseball score, then he's not interested.
Mute sound. Not true. He also cares about classic cars.
Excellent point. Gates forbid he pay attention to something important that is happening in today's world.
Oh, come on. I've saved the world as we know it at least 4 times. I'm interested in the world as much as you two.
They both just looked at me, hands on their hips.
Okay. Maybe not as much as you two, but more than the average Joe or Jane.
Oh, big whoop. You of all people should know that the average man and woman on the street only care about what the mass media mega monster machine manufactures for them to care about.
Mass media mega monster machine, Harv? I think I have to fine you 10 credits for excessive alliteration.
Don't change the subject with me, Zachary Nixon Johnson.
Has my mom been reprogramming you?
Harv looked Electra square in the eyes.
You sure you want to marry him? I am positive you can do better.
He's not much, but I love him.
Proving that even the best of humans are flawed. I'm just glad I'm not human. Being a cognitive processor, I think about many things that aren't just bubblegum for the brain.
Harv, you don't think. You simulate thinking.
You're getting defensive because you know I'm right.
He pointed at the screen.
What happens on the moon is important. I'm sure the other planets are watching Earth carefully. The moon isn't just a suburb of Earth any longer. Some mooners are showing genetic differences from Earthlings. Almost 1 in 500 of them is born a Psi, compared to the 1 in 1 million here on Earth. They are a new branch of Homo sapiens, superior in all but numbers. But you treat them like second-class beings.
I treat everybody the same.
Ugh, when I say you, I don't mean you. I mean humanity in general.
You can't generalize like that, Harv.
Enough, you two. Yes, Harv, some of us are shallow, some of us fear change, hence they are worried about the mooners, and size for that matter. Others of us hope these changes will lead to a better world, or worlds, for us all. All in all, though, it's so much easier to wonder about what the Elvis clones are up to.
That's why you're the smartest human or machine in the room.
Damn straight. Still, this is an important issue. More people need to think about it. If more people stand up, maybe the World Council will let the moon go.
When was the last time the World Council ever listened to anything, Electra?
It was true. It's like once they get elected, they become deaf and dumb.
You should make sure Sexy votes for moon freedom this time.
You want me to use my influence on Sexy to influence her vote?
Just state the case. Let her decide. Tell her you like her lip gloss. I'd better get to the shuttle port. This way I can play my own part in Earth-Moon relationships.
You sure you want to go through this? I'm getting a bad vibe.
That's sweet of you to worry, but I'll be fine. I'm a big girl who can take care of herself. See you in 3 days, mi amor.
Be safe. It didn't take long for Electra to pack her things. She was as excited about this conference as I had seen her in years. I was happy for her, but something about her impending trip was eating at my gut. The scary thing was, I didn't know what or why. I was sitting in my living room when Electra walked in, carrying an old-fashioned suitcase. Electra insists that modern anti-grav suitcases make us lazy and weak.
You should offer to carry her suitcase to the hover.
The last time a man offered to carry my suitcase, I broke his arm.
You should have known that. I stood up to walk her out.
Oh, I did. I was just hoping you didn't. I wanted to see how Electra would react.
Ignoring Harv, I headed outside with Electra. I miss you.
I'll drop you an email when I get there.
When we reached the car, she kissed me. Then she pulled back a bit and looked at me.
What's wrong, Zach?
I'm still getting a weird feeling about this.
Zach, the shuttle to the moon is perfectly safe. I don't think there's ever been a crash. The food is even good.
Is that the means of travel? I'm just worried about you on the moon.
Zach, I've been to the moon on a couple of occasions to teach at their hospital. It's a great place. I didn't get exposure to a lot of people, but those I met were very nice.
Maybe. But the Earth and the moon aren't getting along all that well these days. She got in the hover.
So? The Earth would never attack the moon, and the moon doesn't even have weapons.
Maybe this conference is a trick to get valuable Earth citizens to the moon to hold as hostages.
You know you're paranoid.
Yeah, that's why I'm still alive.
But I'm not you. The universe isn't out to get me.
About 20 minutes after Electra left, I headed to my office. I drove slowly. I was in no hurry to get there, just in case there happened to be any press stragglers hanging around. Who knew? Maybe someone wanted to do a Where Are They Now story about me. Harv? Are there any reporters snooping around the office?
Nope. You are literally yesterday's news.
I was relieved and perhaps slightly disappointed, though I was determined not to show it. Well, back to my normal life.
Zach, with you there is no such thing.
Good point. When I got into my office, Carol was sitting at her desk. Morning, Carol. I looked at her and noticed that she wasn't moving. My first concern was for her health.
Harv, how come you didn't tell me Carol was in trouble?
Zach, she was fine less than a nano ago.
I gently pressed my index finger on Carol's neck, searching for a pulse. I found one and breathed easier. I waved my hand in front of her eyes. They didn't blink.
She appears to be psionically frozen.
Carol is a very powerful psi. Anybody who put her out of commission had to be at least as powerful.
She'll live.
I headed toward the familiar voice.
Who's in my office, Harv?
Can't tell. They've disabled the video cameras.
Any guesses on who it might be?
Hugging the wall, I peered through the open door into my office. There, sitting at my desk, was Shannon Cannon. She looked a bit distraught. I assumed she was still recovering from her bout with the ogre. I walked into my office with my Colt 2062 trained right on her ample chest. Shannon was looking at everything in the office but me. I assume you're the one who put Carol on psi ice?
She'll come around in an hour or two.
To what do I owe the pleasure? Shannon looked unkempt. Her hair was out of place and she had a very nervous demeanor, far different than the cold and calculating bombshell I was accustomed to.
Sexy is dead.
What?
Reduced to ashes under my watch, my guard.
She put her head in her hand and started weeping. I was at a loss over what to do. The comforting side of me wanted to put my arms around her and tell her it would be all right, even though I wasn't sure it would be. My cautious side warned that this lady was one of the most deadly beings on Earth. She could overpower a band of samurai with her breath. What I probably should have done was to shoot her then and let the police deal with her. My cautious side can be a bit overprotective, but I'm still alive, so that's a good thing.
What are you talking about?
She looked at me, her eyes unblinking as if they'd been glued open.
We were preparing for a highly sensitive meeting. Sexy and fellow councilpeople Carl Weathers and Russ Tree were preparing for a very high-level ultra-hush-hush conference. They're all dust now. Dead, dead dust.
I could feel Shannon's pain from across the room. This was no act. This was a woman who trained all of her life for solely one task, a task she had just failed at. I moved up to her, not putting my weapon away, but pulling my finger off the trigger. I put my arm around her.
What happened?
She looked up at me. The mascara running down her face made her look like a deranged rodeo clown.
I have very little idea. I went for my scheduled potty break. I came back just in time to see Sexy reduced to a pile of dust before my eyes. She had already killed all the others. Weathers, Tree, their personal security, their security backup, the guard bots.
I get the picture. You said she. You got a look at the killer?
She was a tall wisp of a woman, like she was made of energy itself. I don't know how she got in. I couldn't stop her. Everything I did went right through her. It's like she was a ghost meant to be seen only by me. She could have killed me, easily. She wanted me alive to take the fall.
If Shannon wasn't lying, or delusional, or both, what she said made sense. If some super assassin really had just murdered three of the 12 most influential politicians on Earth, she had herself a patsy in Shannon.
Surely security footage will verify what you say.
I checked. All security in that room was short-circuited while I was out. That's why I know they'll be coming after me. I'm the only survivor, so in their eyes I have to be the killer. It doesn't help my case that I have been known to generate blasts of energy from my body.
Yeah, I can see where that might count against you.
You have to believe me, Zach. I would never do anything like this. Not to my charges.
I looked at her. I didn't know why, but I believed her.
Harv, how close are the police?
Talk fast, real fast.
You said Sexy, Weathers, and Tree were preparing for a very important meeting. Who was it with?
That's top secret. Classified. Level XYZ999. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you first.
Why did you come to me?
They are going to put me away. I need you to find the real killer, of course. You've got to trust me, Zach.
Well, trust runs down a two-way street. If I'm gonna help, I need you to tell me who they were meeting with, without killing me.
Harv, put up the officer's defenses.
Against the police?
Just put up the energy shield. I want to make sure they don't shoot us before I'm even on the case.
Who was the meeting with, Shannon?
Boris Sputnik and his delegation.
Boris Sputnik? The head administrator from the moon?
How many other Boris Sputniks do you know?
Suddenly, the police started blasting at the force field.
Huh?
Shannon shot up and threw her arms around me. She kissed me hard on the lips.
Don't worry, Zach. They'll never take us alive.
She squeezed me closer to her.
First, there is no us.
I always thought we were kindred spirits, both fighting for what we believe is right.
Second, if they kill me or take me in, then there'll be nobody left to prove your innocence.
She eased her grip on me.
Sorry, got caught up in the moment.
Police burst into my office, far too many for me to count.
Remember, we want her alive!
I heard the voice of my old buddy, Captain Tony Rickey. The fact that Tony was leading, well, bringing up the rear of this charge, gave me hope that there was hope. I still dove under my desk for cover.
Remember, Cannon's the true threat here. Focus all fire on her.
Before they could do that, Shannon was already preparing for it. Her hands were clasped together, energy dancing around her interlaced fingers. She slowly pulled her hands apart, energy cascading around her finely manicured fingertips. As her hands spread farther and farther apart, the energy pulsated more and more, growing stronger and stronger.
Fire!
When the blast from the police hit her, they were totally absorbed by Shannon's own energy. She spread her arms open wide like a butterfly bursting free of a cocoon, sending a huge blast of energy at the first wave of police, driving them all to the ground. Despite the fact the police were wearing protective helmets, her toxic breath still did them in.
Retreat! Retreat!
Shannon looked down at me and smiled. Surveying the 20 or 30 fallen policemen littering my office, her smile widened.
How come the police's toxic filters didn't stop Shannon's breath?
The exact chemical makeup of her breath is top secret. The police don't have nearly the clearance needed. They had to guess. They guessed wrong.
I stood up, trying to take advantage of the situation as the police regrouped.
Zach, this is Tony. You and Shannon have 1 minute to come out before we raise the building.
Looking out the window, I could see at least 300 police barricaded behind their squad hovers, all with weapons trained on the building.
They have 5 robotic gunship hovers just 1 minute out.
Shannon, you have to give yourself up. It's the only way.
Never. I've lost my charge. I have no reason to live. I only want you to save my name after I'm gone.
She turned toward the window, facing the throng of police, her arms open.
Come and get me!
The police officers opened fire on the window, but the shots were repelled. Right then and there, I was glad that blast-proof window sales bot convinced me to go with the most expensive option.
Zack, the police are arming old-fashioned heavy missiles.
A split nano later, one of the missiles crashed into the window. Thanks for the warning, buddy. The window and Shannon both survived the initial blast.
The window can't take another hit like that.
Tell Tony I have the situation under control.
You want me to lie to one of your oldest friends?
Just do it!
Fine. Tony says you have 2 minutes. He also says his superiors want him to use the contain nuclear option if this fails.
Great. No pressure there.
I stood up and popped my Colt 2062 into my hand.
I have a message from Gus.
Patch him through, I guess.
Greetings. I find this quite an unusual means of communication.
You're not alone, Gus. Get to the point.
I have just completed downloading new Billy Club software that might prove most useful.
Why do I need software to hit somebody across the head with you?
The new improvements allow me to calculate the rate of impact and increase my mass at the striking area at the exact moment of impact. I will then follow up by injecting the subject with 1,000,000 volts of electricity.
You have 20 seconds to react.
I walked up behind Shannon. She was paying me no mind, training all of her attention on the surrounding police. I pulled back Gus. Hive, tell Tony I have Shannon.
Too late. Tony says sorry about that and will pay for the damages.
I pushed myself up off the ground. I was covered in debris from my office. Well, from what was left of my office.
Carol!
I pushed through the rubble, fighting my way toward Carol's reception area.
Carol's safe. Tony's men evacuated her before they hit the place.
Tony entered with 3 police android officers, weapons still drawn. I pointed to Shannon lying on the floor, out cold. She won't give you any more trouble.
Oh, sorry about the mess. Some of my men and droids get a little trigger-happy.
Does, Tony. Your men have taken shots at me for jaywalking before.
Yeah, they are under orders to cut that out.
But firing on my office when you have 40 of your own men and machines down in here?
We were monitoring them over their battle armor. We knew they would survive the blast. We also knew Shannon would survive with no problem.
Now what about me?
Zack, cockroaches envy your survival skills.
Tony surveyed the damage.
The good news is that after reviewing the video of your conversations with Shannon, it doesn't look like you're under arrest.
Gee, thanks. We watched as the gray-skinned police droid secured Shannon's hands, feet, and head with metallic-looking braces.
It looks like you were just an innocent pawn in Shannon Cannon's sick game.
I don't think it's a game. She believes she's being framed.
Then she's the only one. Zack, I've seen the footage from the security cameras. 1 minute, she's in the room. She leaves the room, the cameras go blank. Next thing we know, she's standing over the ashes of her victims.
So, you don't actually see her kill anybody?
No, Zack, but it would have taken an ultra-mega high level of clearance and sophistication to disable the cameras like she did.
Why bring the cameras back online just to damn herself?
Well, she screwed up.
Not buying it.
Zack, you're letting that face and body cloud your judgment.
She said she caught a glimpse of a blue-haired woman in the room.
Yeah, our profilers have heard that one. They concluded she was really seeing herself in a sad attempt to justify what she did. Think about it, Zack. This blue-haired woman has some of the same powers Shannon does.
But what's her motive?
She's crazy. She's a Moonie, Zack. She's been a very open supporter of the Moon's freedom. What better way to show your support than to murder 3 of the council members who voted against or were planning to vote against freedom?
I'm still not buying it yet.
You don't have to buy it, Zack. And we're not trying to sell it.
What's going to happen when the press gets a whiff of this story?
Decisions like that are made above my pay grade.
It occurred to me that the press should have been down here already. Obviously, the SF Police Force media handling machine was in full swing. I'm just curious, Tony. How'd you keep the press away?
We leaked a story about a Madonna clone seen hovering over the ultra-hypermart Golden Gate Bridge with an Oprah clone. They were hand in hand. The Oprah clone was even mooning onlookers.
I had to give Tony props. The police had covered this up well. So far. You know, sooner rather than later, the press is gonna jump on this.
True. This is the first time in history 3 World Council members were killed together.
Not because of that. Sexy's an ex-pop star. Weather's an ex-pro athlete.
And Tree was having an extramarital affair with his android. I know, Zach. The media will eat this up once they figure it out. You're not going to help them.
I shook my head.
Good. On behalf of the people of New Frisco, I want to thank you for bringing this dangerous character in. Have Harv contact my office about reimbursing you for your office. You did good, Zach. You did good.
The thing was, I wasn't so sure. I checked up on Carol. She was a bit shaken, but more embarrassed that Shannon had caught her off guard than anything else. I gave her the rest of the day off, which she appreciated. I surveyed the damage to my office. It was bad. All my wall screens had been shattered, the holo projector on the ceiling was dented, and my floors were covered in dust and blood. The good news was my classic oak desk, wooden chair, and coat rack were dirty, but steady as ever. Harv assured me that the maintenance bots and repair bots assured him that the new parts were easy to fix. They would have my office up and running again in 2 days, three tops. So, I decided to head home. Soon as I got home, I set up shop. That's the great thing about living in the hyperinformation age. My place of work can be anywhere I am. It didn't have to be down on the docks in the rustic dive I call an office. Sure, the old oak desk, wooden chair, and coat rack are great for setting the ambiance and getting clients in the proper frame of mind. The thing is, once on the case, it didn't matter where I hung my hat or worked. My home was as good a place as any. I kicked my legs up on the coffee table and sat back on the couch. Harv appeared next to me, pointing at my feet.
That's a coffee table, not a hassock.
I sat up straighter, not really sure why. Harv wasn't the boss of me. I also didn't know why I was on the case, especially since the case looked solved. Shannon Cannon went nuclear, case closed. That's how the police saw it. Word had all too quickly leaked to the press and public, and that's how they saw it. The press was going crazy speculating on all the reasons why Shannon snapped. Was it just because she was a Moonie? Was she Sexy's jealous lover? Or was she the jealous lover of all three council members? The press was convinced it had to be somehow sex-related. The press always thought it was sex-related, mostly because it usually was. The public was so distraught over Sexy's death that thousands of her fans and voters had an underwear-only candlelight vigil for her. Even though it was midday, Sexy would have wanted it that way. Much as I fought it, I also felt a sense of loss. Sexy wasn't my favorite person in the world. Doss, she wasn't even my favorite client. She was spoiled, arrogant, egotistical, and not all that bright. Yet, in her own weird way, she was endearing. I was gonna miss her. Probably more than her fan base would. They were sure to forget her as soon as the next hot starlet auctioned her best bra to earn the money to run for office. For me, it wasn't gonna be that easy. I would have to pay homage to Sexy in my own way. I was gonna track down her killer. The PI in me needed to bring the guilty party in, for Sexy and for myself.
Harv, I need all the footage you can get me from the surveillance cameras in Sexy's office. Please don't fight me.
Done.
Done. That's it?
I know you, Zach. You're on a crusade. You won't stop. No, you can't stop until you find whatever it is you're looking for.
I'm looking for the real killer.
Whatever. I am smart enough to know it's not worth fighting with you about.
You obtained that video pretty easily.
I used Sexy's password to get access. Things are in such chaos there, I knew they wouldn't have time to take down Sexy's account. Once I guessed her password, it was easy.
Nice job, buddy.
Harv looked at me for a few nanos. I knew he was processing if he should tell me something.
What is it, Harv?
Her password was Zach.
Oh, that hit me hard. And I've been kicked in the groin by a renegade mutant mule. A long, painful story. But this hurt more. I started watching the video, replaying it over and over, hoping to catch some clue. Every time it was the same, Sexy, Weathers, and Tree sitting at a big table discussing this and that, as their many aides ran to and fro like good little worker ants. All this going on under the watchful eyes of 20 security people. Shannon got up to take her leave, and the cameras went dead. I watched in 2D from every angle. I watched in 3D from every angle. I zoomed in, I zoomed out. I tried infrared and energy scans. Every time, I failed to find anything that would help me. All the while, Harv stood by my side, analyzing far more angles than I could even dream up.
We need more eyes.
Carol?
No, she needs to rest today.
Randy?
Not now. His head is stuck up on the moon. Well, more on the moon lady's butt.
Tony?
Yeah, right.
I moved my hand in just the right way to make my Colt 2062 pop into my hand.
I don't detect any hostiles, boss.
You're kidding.
I held the Colt out so Gus could survey the situation. What do you see here, Gus?
Sexy Sprocket's office. The recent scene of her murder.
Very good.
Oh, please. The toaster could have figured that out.
Harv and I have been looking through the vids for a clue to who the killer is.
Have you viewed the data through an electromagnetic filter?
Of course.
Newer cloaking armor uses shifted microwave energy to create the invisible effect. Have you tried shifting the electromagnetic filter through different hertz?
Harv? I think he was talking to you.
I didn't try that.
Then do it.
The images started rolling by in super fast motion, over and over again. If Harv was changing anything, I couldn't tell. I used the time to go over Shannon's resume to see if there was anything of interest. Then...
Bingo!
He replayed the footage again, this time with an arrow pointing to the middle of the room. A form appeared, a ghost of a shape, but a shape nonetheless.
So that's a killer.
Certainly.
Yes. I compute the odds of a random cloaked person coming into the room to be 1,000,000 to 1 against.
Can we get a clearer view of the intruder?
I'm going to need help.
We've got Gus.
Sure do.
I'm going to need more help. Randy's help.
I don't think Randy will be much help as long as that Melda woman is with him. Besides, I don't want her in on this.
There is no longer an issue. Melda has left Randy's office.
Why?
Randy kissed her.
Oh, that's not good.
She slapped him, made him think he was a pig, then packed up and headed out. He only just stopped oinking. He's very distraught, though.
That's great.
Harv glared at me.
I'm just saying that Randy could probably use a nice fun project to get his mind off Melda.
True, though he may prove once and for all this is Shannon.
My gut tells me it's not her.
Yes, well, your gut's not admissible in court. I've given Randy the data. He says he'll have something for you in 6 hours.
Well, that gives me time to do a little background checking.
Where are you going?
Background check on Shannon Cannon. I need to see if she could snap.
How are you going to do that?
You're the supercomputer. You figure it out.
Madame Desma's School for Talented Girls.
Bingo. I need you to see if you can track down Thria.
You don't really think Thria is responsible for this, do you?
She had a bone to pick with Sexy. Whoever did this was well-connected and had a lot of power. Thria fits the bill.
I'll try to contact her, but murder isn't her style.
Harv was right. The killings didn't match Thria's M.O. Still, she was a crazy superwoman whose sister once tried to destroy the Earth. I wasn't going to rule her out simply because I was a little worried that she might turn me into a frog. Madame Desma's School for Talented Girls was located on the outskirts of town. The building itself was an old, elegant red brick Victorian mansion that was at least 200 years old. The mansion sat on top of a small hill that overlooked many acres of finely manicured rolling grounds. As I drove up the long brick driveway that led to the manor, the grounds were filled with girls or young women engaged in various activities. Some were playing what I believed to be badminton, others were sitting in circles reading, a few were playing violins, some were practicing the martial arts, and a few were just sitting sunbathing. Harv looked at me, looking at them.
If some of them were having pillow fights in their 90s, this would pretty much be your adolescent boy's dream come true.
Yep.
Once I was in the building, I made my way into a large room. There, I found Madame Desma holding a violin as she stood in front of 5 eager-looking girls who were holding violins at their sides. These weren't electric or virtual violins, by the way. They were good old-fashioned wooden ones. They had to be almost as old and valuable as my car. Desma was about to start playing the instrument when she saw me. She waved me over and I stopped next to her.
Ladies, we have a surprise special guest, Zachary Nixon Johnson.
I could tell from the looks on their faces they weren't too thrilled about having their lesson interrupted. Desma is a pleasant-looking woman in her early 30s, with short curly black hair. She has the look of a woman who would be equally as comfortable in a concert hall as she would on a sports field. For that matter, fixing her own hover or car. No matter what time of day I see her, she always has a freshly pressed look.
So, what brings you to my neck of the woods, cuz?
Oh yeah. She's my cousin once removed, whatever the doss that means, on my mom's side. She's the only Psy in the family that I'm aware of.
You're the Psy.
Come into my office.
She took me by the hand and led me out of the practice room to the main hall, then up a twisting staircase. We walked up the stairs in silence until we crossed paths with a tall, slim woman with dark blue hair coming down the stairway. She was wearing a purple suit dress that appeared as if it was cloned for her. She looked at me and I could feel her glance. I shuddered. Not sure if it was a good shudder or a bad one, but it was definitely a noticeable one. She didn't have the strong Asian features of the other Mooner females I'd met, and was fairer than they were. Yet I knew she was a Mooner.
Ms. Desma? Sir?
Elena?
I just continued climbing the stairs.
Quite pretty, isn't she?
I hadn't noticed. I'm engaged.
True, but not dead, cuz.
She is a looker. From the moon, right?
The moon size and Earth size are trying an exchange program.
We reached the top of the stairs. There were a lot of stairs. She led me down a hallway to the left. She's here with a contingent from the moon?
You ask a lot of questions.
Comes with a job.
No, she's been here longer. I get the impression, a very strong impression, that she's not a fan of Mr. Sputnik.
We reached a door. I followed Desma into a small conference room with a little table in the middle and bookshelves with actual books lining the walls. Have you taught her much?
Does, no. She's teaching me. She's a class 1 level 8, Psy.
I sat kitty corner to my cousin. I've been exposed to a lot of Psys in my time, but never one rated so highly. The Thompson sisters were probably at least that powerful, but nobody was ever able to test them successfully. Those girls value their privacy. Class 1 level 8.
Good, cuz. Glad to see your short-term memory works.
So, what can she do?
Anything she wants.
I need a little more than that.
Suffice it to say, if she told you to drop dead, you would. Happily. Even that computer you have strapped to your brain probably wouldn't help. She'd be the perfect assassin. Luckily, she'd never kill anybody.
Why do you say that?
Truthfully, I don't know. Let's hope I'm right, or we're all in trouble. Now, I assume we're here to talk about Miss Cannon?
Shannon Cannon was a student here, correct?
Yes, she was a fine, devoted student. A great mix of mutant and natural Psy.
I know she's capable of killing, but would she turn on her charge?
No. She was totally loyal to Sexy. She even listened to her music.
Wow. That's going beyond the call of duty.
I've looked at Shannon's online psych profile, and I agree. Shannon would never harm Sexy.
I assume the police are treating this like an open and shut case. Just blame the crazy mutant Psy.
It's convenient and fitting and easy, so you can't blame them.
And the evidence does point to a super assassin who knew the building.
The assassin would be near impossible to find if they had a massive man, woman, or bot hunt, but they aren't even looking.
Yeah, the future didn't look too bright for Shannon. She had nobody in her corner and everybody lining up to chain her, toss her in a cell, and erase the key codes. I was her only hope. Lucky for her, I'm good at what I do. Looks like I better find the police a couple of other suspects. I left Desmond's and hit the open road. Harv informed me that it would be 24 more hours before my office was repaired, so for now, the road was my office. I knew in my gut that Shannon wasn't the one who offed Sexy and the others. But as Harv always likes to point out, no judge in the right mind would listen to my gut. The police wouldn't be out looking for other potential killers. They had a perfectly good suspect in custody. She had the means, she had the power, she had the motive. At least according to my buddy Tony, Shannon did it to protest the three council members voting against the moon's freedom. She was a mutant psi killer who snapped. The media was eating it up. No way the police would upset the apple cart here. If anybody was going to find the true killer, that anybody would have to be me. All I needed was a viable alternative suspect. Harv, put me in contact with Thria.
Thria is incognito, quite literally. That's what she calls her fairy realm. She's not accepting calls or visitors.
I needed to track Thria down, stay-sap. That's sooner than as soon as possible. All right, connect me with Ona. It wasn't long before Ona's picture filled my dash view screen. She was in some sort of dojo, wearing a scantily cut karate uniform.
Oh, hi, Zach. What can I do for you?
I need to find your sister, Thria.
Now, why would anybody with half a brain, even a tenth of a brain, seek out Thria? This involves Sexy and the council murders, doesn't it?
She's a person of interest.
Not to the police.
She is to me.
Zach, you should forget about Thria. She may be crazy, but she'd never harm anybody. Or at least not kill them.
Yesterday, I fought some of her ogres that she sent after Sexy.
Yes, that does seem like Thria's style.
So I need to talk to her. She turned away from the camera, I assumed, to look at a clock.
Meet me in 1 hour at Madame Tai Chi's restaurant on Arnold Avenue. We will discuss this further.
I'll be there. I arrived at Madame Tai Chi's during the heart of the lunch hour. I'd never eaten there, but I heard the food was great. It must have been, as the place held at least 300, and if there was an empty seat in the house, it was hard to find. An older Asian woman, who I assumed was Madame Tai Chi, greeted me at the door with a polite bow. She was short and slightly wrinkled. She could have been anywhere from 60 to 160. She had a tiny microphone next to her mouth and an earpiece clipped to her left earlobe. At first, I thought it was a Pi-Hi-Pod. Then I realized it had to be a translational computer.
Greetings, Mr. Johnson. Follow me.
She stopped at a small table for two near the back corner. There was already food on the table. One place setting had chicken and broccoli and rice, the other sushi of some sort. The woman pointed to a chair next to the chicken dish.
You sit here. The other will be here soon.
I looked at the place setting. Chicken and broccoli was my favorite. This had certainly been arranged. I sat down.
I'm detecting an energy surge.
A good surge or a bad one?
Energy is neither good nor bad.
Is it dangerous?
Depends.
Should I leave?
No.
I turned to see that Ona had materialized in all her splendor in the chair opposite me. Ona stood over 2 meters tall and had golden skin with just a hint of purple in it. You would have thought it would be unappealing, but instead it was oh so sensual. Her platinum blonde hair was draped just over her shoulders. She had a body to make a goddess envious. She was wearing a cloth-like miniskirt that looked like she borrowed it from Betty Rubble. On anybody else, it would have been silly, but on her, it was stunning.
You really know how to make an entrance.
I bought one of Santana Claus's personal teleporters. There are times when it's useful being the richest being on the planet.
I can imagine.
No, you can't. Eat your food. You're going to need your strength for where I'm taking you.
I was afraid to ask, but I did anyhow.
So, where are you taking me?
To Thria's realm.
So you believe that she may be involved?
I owe you a favor, Zack. You're the only person ever to save me. Let's leave it at that.
What if Thria is involved?
That would be bad. My sister may be a loon, but she's a powerful loon. I don't think she's behind this, but I have to check it out.
Glad you can help.
I must admit, this isn't totally altruistic on my part.
You're a businesswoman. I'm not surprised.
I may be more than that in the near future.
More than a billionaire super babe?
I've been asked to replace Sexy on the WC.
What?
The World Council has a policy of replacing assassinated members with new members of very similar values. They figured it would cut down on killings. Since I'm nearly invulnerable, they figure that will cut down on attacks.
So your qualifications are that you think like Sexy Sprockets and are hard to kill?
Yeah, kind of scary.
Kind of didn't even come close. She pointed to my plate.
Finish your broccoli. You're going to need your strength.
I speared a broccoli floret. It took a moment to take in the ironic aspects of it.
Yes, Mom.
Chew your food at least 32 times.
I did as I was told. After all, I didn't want to accidentally choke to death without giving Thria a chance to kill me. I chewed, then swallowed. In most cases, that's hardly noteworthy, but in this case, I knew it might be the last time I performed those simple actions. When I stood up and looked at me. Well, ready to egg roll?
You're such a strange little man.
The next thing I knew, Ona and I were standing on a path in the middle of a lush green tropical forest. A butterfly floated by. I'd been to Thria's realm before, but it was different this time. Less gothic and D&D-like than I remembered it.
Look alive.
We started walking up the path.
You never know what's in Thria's demented mind.
So, is this place real?
Real enough. It's a mix of holograms with some genetic and psionic creations tossed in.
That's what I was thinking.
You were not.
We walked on for a few minutes. It was peaceful and serene. I knew that couldn't last long.
It's quiet. Too quiet.
Is that a bad sign?
Nah, I just always wanted to say that.
Harv appeared between us.
Ms. Ona, I need something more quantifiable than a mix of holograms with some genetic and psionic creations.
Sorry. I need a being that can handle one of my orgasms without needing to be hospitalized. Not even super beings and supercomputers always get what they want.
We kept walking, luckily in silence. After a few minutes, I popped my Colt 2062 into my hand. It just felt like the right thing to do.
A bit edgy, Zack.
He pulls out that silly little thing whenever he's feeling inadequate.
Just being cautious. I've got a bad feeling.
Oh, good. Glad to see your actions are based on such empirical concepts.
The next thing I saw spooked me. There, standing in front of us, were over 1,000 humanoid-shaped shadows. Saying that they were eerie would be as much of an understatement as noting that World Council budget planning meetings are boring. See, this is why I drew the weapon. Harv put a hand to his eyes and leaned forward as if to get a better glimpse.
These are nothing like I've ever processed.
They are half-baked concoctions from Thria's brain and lab. Part real, part surreal. Part of all the things that scare humans,
Demons, darkness, depression, vampires, ghosts, clowns, taxes, career politicians, and telemarketers.
Oh, good. I was afraid it was going to be something weird.
They have no true form, just partial substance. Thria cooks them up in a hurry when she needs a legion of easy-to-maintain minions.
How often does she need a legion of minions?
More often than you would think.
The living darkness crept toward us. It sent a chill up my spine, and not in a good way. So these things aren't technically alive.
Well, depends on your definition of alive. Thria thinks they're alive. Tua and I disagree. They certainly don't have individual will or consciousness, if you want to go spiritual on me.
Hearing that they weren't alive was all I needed. I held out my weapon. Gus, I'm gonna need a wide distribution blast.
Check, I guess.
What's the problem, buddy?
He can't get a read on them.
Correct.
I figured I'd blast them the old-fashioned way, without computer targeting. So I sent a powerful beam of energy at the mob, which harmlessly passed through them, not even slowing their approach.
They aren't quite there, so you can't hurt them with actual weapons.
Just lovely. One of the creatures tagged me in the jaw. Gah! Gates, it hurt! Ona had her own problems, as the multitude of dark blob creatures had engulfed her. Ona spun and started flinging the first round of attackers off of her.
I hate this! Since they don't really exist, you can't use real weapons on them.
Well, we need to do something fast! Another mob of dark mass had swarmed over Ona, covering her up to her neck.
Yeah, you're telling me. You're just lucky they don't consider you much of a threat.
Yeah, but that was their mistake. I held out an open hand towards Harv. Harv, holographic sword, now! A glowing long sword appeared in my open hand. I hacked at the black shadow blobs. Once I hit them, they disappeared. I held the sword out. This was gonna be fun. I moved forward, slashing and hacking as I advanced. The nice thing about wielding a holographic sword was that I couldn't hurt myself with it. That allowed me to go crazy. I sliced my way forward for at least half a kilometer. Since my sword weighed nothing, it was easy. It actually gave me a feeling of empowerment that I hadn't felt in a long time. Obviously, I had some issues to work out. So in a way, this was good therapy.
It's about time he's finally doing some work.
I think he's enjoying himself.
Finally, I managed to cut my way through the horde that wasn't really quite there, enabling me to get close enough to see Thria. She was just sitting in a pasture, legs crossed, hovering off the ground with her eyes closed, meditating. Ona looked at her sister and shook her head while rolling her eyes. Ona walked up to Thria, made a fist, and clunked her over the head with it. This got her attention. Thria's eyes shot open, and her arm shot up.
Who in the name of the goddess dares disturb me? Oh! Zachary Nixon Johnson! I always considered you an ally.
Ona tapped Thria on the shoulder. Thria turned.
Oh, I should have known it was you. What brings you to my realm?
Sexy Sprockets.
How dare you mention that whore in my realm?
She's dead.
Oh. Oh, that's too bad. As whores go, she was a good one.
Sexy and two other council members, Weathers and Tree, were killed today.
You think I'm responsible?
The thought had crossed my mind.
I told them I was pretty sure it wasn't you. Pretty sure? Sis, with you, one can never be totally sure. You're a bit of a flake. Oh, how true. Killing people is so not my style. And I had nothing against Weathers and Tree. I've only met them two or three times.
I looked at Thria. She was certainly distressed. I'm not sure if she was more upset about the deaths or being accused.
Where did the murders occur?
In the new Frisco World Council office building.
But the security there had to be top-notch.
It was. The killer took them out, too.
Then you know it wasn't me. I would never hurt the little oppressed people. Well, that's true.
The look of sincerity on Thria's face was utterly convincing. If she was the killer, she was an even better liar. Sorry for bothering you, Thria.
We still on for lunch on Tuesday, sis? You bet. But you're paying.
Soon as I got home, I plopped down on the couch and started crunching data with Harv. I couldn't totally rule out Shannon and Thria as suspects. A good PI never totally rules out a loon. Still, between my instincts and what I knew about the two women, I was fairly certain neither of them was the killer. The killer was somebody who would gain from killing Sexy, Weathers, and Tree. There had to be something that linked the dead trio besides the fact they all had names that could double as adjectives or nouns. Harv and I pored over the data. Never in the history of history had three people been so different. The only attributes they seemed to share were a love of the limelight and of wasting the taxpayers' money. They each had 10 times as many press conferences and photo ops as they had votes on council resolutions. Out of the 300 resolutions the three of them had voted on, they all agreed on only one, the resolution to give themselves a 25% cost of high living raise. I was getting nowhere slow. Randy had so far been no help on reviewing the video of the crime scene. It seems he got caught up watching a Battlestar Galactica marathon. The remake, not the original. The entire series was remixed in 3D. Randy couldn't resist. I gave him props for his taste, if not his timing. Randy didn't see the rush. After all, the police were sure they had the guilty party in custody. After some coaxing and more bribing, Randy assured me he'd get right on it. I continued sifting through the voting records. I always thought all politicians were basically the same person wrapped in a slightly different package. I was wrong. While these three certainly shared the same vapid personality and the dogmatic belief that they were always right, that was about all they shared. They all had different pet issues, all of them equally shallow. And speaking of pet issues, Sexy was a big supporter of pets' rights. The only resolution she initiated during her tenure on the council was an amendment to block an amendment to consider a proposal to bring back cat eating. Sexy's big motto was, "Cats are for hugging, not hunger." Weathers, an ex-athlete who had replaced his late wife Stormy, who unbeknownst to most of the world had tried to destroy most of the world, liked to think of himself as the champion of the little guy. Of course, to a politician, the definition of little guy is millionaire, as opposed to billionaire. He was a defender of pro-athletes' rights. These rights included lifelong extra medical coverage, tax breaks on endorsements, and 2 get-out-of-jail-frees for punching members of the media. I kind of like the last one. Tree was a different sort. He'd spent the last 30 years on the World Council. He was a lifelong politician, which meant he scared me the most. Reviewing the public record videos of him, a blind man could see that he held Sexy and Weathers in disdain. Here was a man who worked all his life as a politician, yet he always took a back seat to his come-lately colleagues like Sexy and Weathers. As far as I knew, and Harv confirmed, he was never even considered for head of the council. His pet policy was a policy that politicians shouldn't have pet policies. He'd introduce it every year, and every year, he'd be the only one to vote for it.
The three of them were so different, yet they were all going to meet about the moon.
The official record is they were trying to convince the moon to accept more waste products from Earth.
That had to be a hard sell. What were their views on moon freedom?
It's the one thing they almost agreed on. Tree always voted against the moon's freedom. Sexy had voted once against and once for freedom.
And Weathers?
He hasn't had an actual vote yet, but his late wife was always for a free moon, and he hasn't done anything to go against his late wife's views.
Until now.
I spun toward the voice. My gun was already in my hand by the time I was facing the body associated with the voice. It was Elena.
How'd you get in here?
Like your cousin said, I am Class 1, Level 8. There's very little I can't do.
Yeah, well, I've got a front door that's great for knocking on.
Put the gun down. If I wanted you dead, you would be.
I lowered my gun. What choice did I have? Elena sat down on the couch next to me. She was still wearing the purple outfit from earlier in the day, and this time I noticed the ensemble was complete with purple heels. Not many women could have pulled off the look, but she did it with ease.
Tree is an old fart. Totally against moon freedom.
I knew that. But the other two?
Weathers hated Boris Sputnik. He knew Sputnik always had a thing for his wife. Shannon had convinced Sexy to vote for moon freedom this time, but then Weathers convinced her not to.
I could see Weathers hating Sputnik. I remember Elektra mentioning that Sputnik always seemed very friendly with her during her trips to the moon. The question was, how did Weathers get Sexy to change her mind about her vote?
How did Weathers get to Sexy?
He was to marry her. He convinced her he would dump his current love, and then they would be Earth's new power couple.
That doesn't surprise me. So the three of them would have voted against the moon's freedom.
That's what Weathers believed, and that's what Sputnik believed. But truthfully, with Sexy, you can never be sure. Shannon was certain she was just using Weathers for the hype. She believes Sexy would eventually vote for freedom no matter what Weathers did. Shannon would never, ever harm Sexy.
That's what I keep hearing. So you're saying they were killed by Moon's sympathizers?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just noting that I am not the only powerful Psi on the Moon.
How do I know you didn't kill them all?
Well, for one thing, if she were the killer, she probably would have killed you by now.
I'm not a killer. I might make you think you're a plant for the rest of your life, but I wouldn't kill. I'd even water you on occasion.
Once again, I was being asked to take a beautiful woman at her word. And once again, I believed her. The thing was, just because I believed her, didn't mean others would.
Do you have any proof?
None that would stand up in the court of law. or even of public opinion.
Got any proof that Weathers would have voted against freedom and was trying to get Sexy to do the same?
Ask his girlfriend.
Who's that?
BB Starr.
Again, that doesn't surprise me. Harv, tell BB I need to talk to her now.
BB is one of the richest women in the world. She runs a huge conglom. Why would she drop everything to talk to you?
Because my computer records might become public if she doesn't.
Ah, blackmail. I love it.
Being one of the good guys, I'm not a huge fan of blackmail, though I'd much rather be the blackmailer than the blackmailee. But there are times when you've got to play hardball to get the job done. BB Starr is president and CEO of Xshell, the corporation that sells us the sun. She was also one of my first big clients. Most of the world knows her as an eccentric ex-stripper who married a billionaire and inherited his fortune and company after he died. She's a recluse who hardly ventures out of her luxury penthouse office. What very few people know is that the actual BB Starr is happily living under her grandmother's name in New Florida, while her actual grandmother has been regenerated and is stripping under a different alias in New Vegas. Trust me, this family almost makes the Thompson quads look functional. The BB who runs the company is actually a superpowered android who contains the actual BB's memory imprints. It's a long story, but a good one if you have the time. I called it the case of the Plutonium Blonde, and I understand it's available for purchase somewhere on the net. After a short talk with BB, a really short one, I found out the deal with Carl Weathers getting married to Sexy was only a ploy for him to become the council chairman. He just wanted to come out from the shadow of his dead wife.
Huh. Interesting. So we may have something to tie the three politicians together.
Alina touched me gently on the shoulder.
Sputnik can't be trusted. Now sleep.
I came to maybe 15 minutes later, and Alina was gone. I knew where I had to go. I got up and looked at the clock. It said it was 5 p.m. It had been a crazy day, and it wasn't close to being over yet.
Harv, call Carol and tell her I need her to meet me at the New Frisco Ultramax Security Prison.
Why?
I need to talk to Shannon one last time to completely rule her out, before I accuse the head administrator of the moon of killing the council members.
Probably wise. But how do you plan on doing it?
Cover me with a hologram of Captain Ricky.
That's illegal, you know.
I just need to talk to Shannon. I'm not breaking her out.
Oh, I'm not going to visit you when you're in jail.
Great. I'll finally be able to get some peace and quiet.
I headed toward my garage. So as not to raise any suspicions, I was going to let Harv hover me onto the barge to the prison.
Uh-oh. You have a call coming in from Desma.
Patch her through in 2D over my wrist communicator.
Desma's face appeared on the screen. She looked different than I'd ever seen her. Her eyes were half shut, and her hair looked like her cats had just finished playing with it.
Is that you, Cuz?
She blinked her eyes a couple of times as if she were using sheer willpower to force them to open wider. She failed. She put her arms down on her desk and dropped her head into them. Then she suddenly looked up.
I think that little bitch Elena put the mind thingy on me.
The mind thingy?
She picked your home address out of my mind, then put me under. Oh, so much for Psy Unity.
She just wanted to warn me about Boris Sputnik.
Well, I need to warn you about her warning you about him. I need to tell you.
She stopped talking and gazed into the screen.
Tell me.
Oh, I thought it was your turn to talk. I didn't want to be rude.
Tell me what?
She stared up at the ceiling.
I have pretty ceilings.
Yeah, but what about Elena?
You can't really trust her. She hates Sputnik. 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 That's a funny word, Sputnik. Must be Greek.
It's Russian.
That's right, Russian. You're so smart. That's why she hates him. She believes he betrayed Mother Russia.
A lot of Russians think Sputnik dropped the ball.
Yeah, well, I only know I get weird, freaky, far-out vibes from her.
I don't see her as the mass murder type.
Cause she's a beautiful woman. Even if she wasn't an ultra-powerful Psy, you wouldn't see her as a murderer until a few minutes after she stabbed you in the heart. Nothing personal, but you're a sap. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going back to sleep.
The more time we spend on the case, the harder it gets to crack.